James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5. Praise the Lord on the message of humility. I tell you, stuff like this humbles me. It's been amazing. I guess until you go through a trial, you talk about how good the Lord is, but to be honest with you, it hadn't felt like much of a trial to us. It has been, if you stop and think about it. But it's amazing. The grace of God is sufficient. I guess it's one thing to preach about it, but another thing to live it. I guess this has made us know for sure the grace of God is sufficient. Amen. And let you know there's people worse off than you are. And but I'm amazed at the Lord. Amen. I'm amazed at Him. Let's stand, if you would, James chapter number 5. And you try not to snore any louder than I can preach, all right? Amen. And I'll try to give you what the Lord's given me and try to be a help to you here in this afternoon service. And thank you so much for the opportunity, Brother Rutledge, and thank you for whatever you gave. And the Lord's just amazed me and many of you here. You've sent texts and called us and different things, so it's good to just stand here in front of you face-to-face and tell you thank you and appreciate your love. Amen. I didn't have much of an earthly family on my side, but I tell you, God's people's been my family. I thank God for the family He's given me, and thank the Lord they're up here singing. That's not where my side of the family's at today. But I thank God for where we're at, and praise God. Amen. I'll try to preach. I've tried to. Let the Lord give me that touch that I need. All right. James chapter number 5. We'll start reading here in verse number 1. It said, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have reaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity again to stand. And Lord, I realize that, Lord, I'm no more worthy than the first time that I've stood here. And I pray that you'd touch me. I'm no more able. And I pray, God, that you give me the touch that I need to be able to preach. I thank you for this afternoon crowd, these that have come back to hear the Word of God. And I pray that they'd hear that and the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. And we're going to look here at this text here. James is talking about these rich men and who have tried to bring joy to their life and to bring through riches and through evil doings against God's people and against the poor. And he's called our Lord, the Lord of Sabaoth, or the Lord of hosts, the Lord of battle. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, that He's in control, aren't you? I'm glad that what's going on in the world today is not out of God's control. He can do with it what He wants to at any time. Amen. But he's talking about this, and he says in verse number 6, it says, "You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." God is allowing some things to go on in our day. Amen. God allows His people to go through different things, and He doesn't resist ungodliness, it seems like, even this day. I'm glad that He does. He still hates what He's always hated. He's still holy, and He's still righteous.
And then he tells them here in verse number 7, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain." And he says in verse 8, "Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." And I was listening to a fellow on the radio, Yarver, do that, and we don't have very good radio stations up our way, but the only fellow on there worth listening to is Brother Olaf and Brother Eric. He's on about 5 stations up there, and God's used that. But there's a fellow comes on the radio, and he doesn't preach the Word of God. He thinks he's smart enough that he ought to have a talk show, amen. And he have a talk show, and he says, you ought to call in. And let me tell you what my opinion is about this and about that. And I'm not saying necessarily every talk show that may be on the radio is wrong, but I believe God ordained the preaching of the Word of God above some talk show, amen. I think man of God ought to fill his heart with the Word of God and stand up under the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost and preach what thus saith the Word of God. But this man was coming on there. He had a fellow that called in, and he said, "You know what I'm seeing?" And I wonder where he's looking at. I know he's not looking at the Baptist churches I'm looking at, but he said, "The more I hear somebody talking about the coming of the Lord, and the more I hear them talking about whether it's a pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-millennial, all-millennial, and all of that," he said, "I believe we just ought to take our minds off of the coming of the Lord." And the talk show said, "Well, you know what? I agree with you." He said, "I believe from my experience about it that the coming of the Lord takes the motivation out of people's lives in doing the will of God and living what God would have them to live." And I ain't found many Christians like that anyway. You amen? But hey, he said, "I believe it demotivates them in serving God like they ought to serve." It didn't surprise me, because this man said also that he believed the book of Revelation was just figurative. He didn't believe the book of Revelation literally, and he said it was figurative. But dear friend, that let me understand where he was at. Amen. I still believe, thank God, the Bible teaches a pre-tribulation rapture, and God's not subject to us to His wrath. Amen. I still believe in the pre-millennial return of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of so-called new independent Baptists that have went away from what the Word of God has to say. I'm glad, thank God, Brother Jones, when I first started pastoring, I'd been saved since I was 13, but God called me to preach October 1st, 2000, and a year later He called me to pastor the first church that I'd pastor, and there's about 6 people there, and 5 of them was in their late 60s, early 70s. The deacon would get up and he'd preach to me after he taught Sunday school and knew more than I did. Where was I going with this? Y'all excuse me. I know where I was going with it. But he would teach me that. I remember after about the first week of preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, I quoted everything I thought I knew. I made up some stuff. I'm just kidding. But I said, "Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do on Wednesday night. I don't know what I'm going to do on Sunday morning and Sunday night the next time." Amen. I didn't know. And God said, "Get in that book and find out why you say you believe what you're preaching to that congregation." I thank God that God put me around some good men that preached the Word of God, that told me the doctrines of the Word of God, and did what Brother Bright was talking about. It wasn't about them. It wasn't about me. But it was about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We ought to get our doctrine out of the Word of God and stick to it and stand for it, especially in these last days. I mean, there's all kind of things being preached today about the doctrines of the Word of God. And this man said that he thought we ought to not mention the coming of the Lord because it demotivates people. And so I thought about that, and it got me fired up digging into the Word of God. And I thought about, I think the coming of the Lord motivates us. If you look at the Word of God, there's motivation in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man said you'll do more work for God. You'll do more of the will of God if you don't focus on the coming of the Lord. Hey, probably the greatest church in the New Testament, I believe it was the church at Thessalonica, wouldn't you? The church at Thessalonica, Paul said you're doing a work of faith and a labor of love. And he said you're doing it by faith. He said you started following us. And he said when we left, you started doing the work of God by work of faith and a labor of love. He said when we came back to Macedonia and Achaia, he said we didn't even have to say anything to the people around. Isn't what he said? He said for from you sounded out the word of God so that we don't have to say anything. Wouldn't it be great to go out here in Amory, Mississippi, and I'm not condemning the church, but wouldn't it be great to go out and say, oh yeah, we know about Unity Baptist Church. There's some people down there that every time they see us, they're telling us about the Word of God. They're talking about Jesus Christ. They're doing a work of faith and a labor of love down there. And listen, the Bible said the Word was sounding out from them. The Bible tells us what a great church that was. Paul said in chapter number 2, the reason that was is because they received not the Word as the Word of men, but as it was in truth, the Word of God. And he said it's working effectually inside of you. And hey, when the Word of God gets to work on the inside, it'll come out. Amen. It'll come out. And so you know what, Paul, bragging on what they're doing, you know what mistake he made in chapter number 1? He said, you turn from dead idols to serve the living God and to wait for His Son from heaven. Oh no, Paul mentioned the coming of the Lord. Hey, you know what? Paul probably should have corrected that. And surely in chapter number 2, he's not going to say anything about the coming of the Lord. And he's talking to them there in chapter number 2. And he ends chapter number 2 talking about the coming of the Lord. And listen, you think he surely would have learned his lesson by now. Chapter number 3 and chapter number 4 and chapter number 5. Chapter number 4, we all know what it says there. Chapter number 4 said, but I'll not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Amen. I'm glad I got a blessed hope this afternoon. He said, even as them that have no hope, the Bible says, with this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are, how's it go there? As the Bible said, they shall not go before us, but it talks about the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. In chapter 5 he said, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. He said, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he wrote 5 chapters. I don't think he believed that what that radio preacher believed. You? He wasn't going to demotivate the greatest church, it looks like, in the New Testament. But I surely to goodness he wouldn't write 2 Thessalonians mention anything about it. But chapter number 1 of 2 Thessalonians, he said over there, he talked about how there's going to be an entrance into heaven. He talked about how the Lord was going to come and be glorified in His saints. Amen. In chapter number 2, he talks about the Antichrist coming on the scene and they're gathering together unto him, and he tells that crowd because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, that they're going to be damned. And so what I'm trying to say while y'all are still awake this afternoon is Paul wrote 8 chapters. I understand he wasn't writing chapters, but thank God for our Bible and how it is. But he wrote 8 chapters, 2 epistles, and every one of them are saturated with He's coming, He's coming, He's coming. Amen. And he's not the only one. You look at Peter. Peter said over there, he said, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And he said, there's going to come scoffers on the radio. Amen. There's going to be scoffers And there's going to be scoffers who are walking out to their own lust, and they're going to deny it, saying, where's the promise of His coming? I'm glad we can still cling to the promise here in 2022 that He is coming. The second coming, the rapture is not just a deliverance from wrath. It's an appearance before the judgment seat. You get that? We talk like we just can't wait to get out of here. You that ready for the judgment seat?
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Is that right, preachers? It's not just a deliverance from wrath to come, but it's an appearance at the judgment seat. Paul lived his life in light of the judgment seat, and that he knew that at His appearing, He's going to come in the clouds. And thank God, the Bible said we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It wasn't just Paul, it wasn't just Peter. Jude said about that ungodly crowd. He said in the face of earnestly contending for the faith, he said, know this, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment. Amen. I think the coming's a motivation, don't you? It ought to motivate us more than anything else. It ought to motivate us to want more than just getting out of the gas prices, more than just getting out of a Sodom that we're living in. But we're going to see our Lord, thank God. Hey, Jesus Christ, told John the Beloved over there in the book of Revelation to those seven churches there, every one of them. He said, behold, I come quickly. Amen.
Amen.
I was told, Brother Langston told me one time, Brother Jones, that all these years he's preached, nearly 66 years, preached five night meetings a year at one time, and still preaching a lot of them. He said every Friday night it was a custom of the preacher, it was expected of the preacher to preach on the second coming of the Lord. The early church, if I understood it right, you men correct me if not, the way they said bye to each other wasn't saying, have a good week or see you next time. Hope you have a good week. Nothing wrong with that. But they'd say, Maranatha, isn't that right? Doesn't that mean our Lord cometh? It was on their mind over and over again that the Lord was coming. I've heard them say, you're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. There ain't no way, dear friend, that that's the truth. Hey, thank God. All through the Word of God, I believe there's a motivation of the coming of the Lord. Amen. Back in our text here, if y'all can stand it a little while longer, amen. I just want to see some things here, the motivation of His coming. I believe the coming of the Lord will motivate us to be as patient as God is. Amen. I'm losing my patience in some ways. What about you? Y'all losing your patience? Well, I want God's patience. I pray, God, give me the patience of you. Amen. I want to be as patient as you. Look at what He says here in verse number 7. Now look, He says, while it's going on, you have condemned and killed the just, and He doth not resist you. You reckon God's appreciated the people that have been martyred for His name, the people that have suffered for the sake of Christ? You reckon God enjoys the trials and the tribulations and the troubles that go on in this life? No, dear friend, but He's a patient God. Amen. Amen. I see here it says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. And so I see in this text that with the coming of the Lord in light, and let me say this, that preacher was saying on there in Acts 1:11 where they said, Lord, will thou this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said, it's not for you to know the times or the season, which God put in His own power. Amen. I personally believe what he meant is that crowd he was looking at. It's not for you to know. But they're standing there, and the Bible says a cloud received him out of... He said, but tarry ye in Jerusalem till you've been endued with power from on high. And he told them, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. And the Bible said a cloud received him out of their sight. I'll just throw this in there. It's bodily getting out of here. It'll be bodily coming back. Amen. And thank God. And the Bible says they stood there looking up into heaven. That's about the look most Baptists got in this day, amen. That's the look I get every once in a while. Brother Jones straightened that out for us last night, didn't he? And they said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go away. You know what they're saying to them, and what Jesus had already said, get busy, occupy till he comes. Occupy the fields, occupy the work of God and the will of God. Nothing ought to motivate that more than the coming of the Lord. I'm glad, thank God, I want to be as patient with sinners as he is. I believe that precious fruit of the earth, I believe that husbandman is no doubt the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son, and of the things that God has done that sinners might be saved by the grace of God. He's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I better hurry up, y'all looking dazed out there. Amen. I want to be patient with sinners. I sure am glad God was patient with me. Amen. That precious fruit, he's got long patience for it. He's patient with sinners, and you and I, when you look at the colored hair and the rings all in their face and the tattoos all over their bodies, I tell you this, we ought not to condone that. We ought to teach our children different than that, but we ought to pray for sinners. Pray. I mean, have you lost your patience in praying for sinners? Hey, more than ever before. Hey, preachers, have you lost your patience with praying for sinners? This just may be a preference I've got, but it amazed me when I was pastor and pastored about 16 years that there was never a man to come in. Brother Bryant, you did. And, amen. So you've preached for me. If you're here for me, I wasn't analyzing this much, and maybe God just told you what to preach. But rarely did somebody just get up and take a text from Calvary. On Sunday morning, I guess the preacher that I was saved under every Sunday morning, you don't have to do this. I'm just saying what he did. Every Sunday morning, he is going to preach something about the cross. He is going to preach about Calvary and hellfire and brimstone judgment. I'm not saying you have to do that every time, but I'm saying how often do we get up there and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? Is that all right? I appreciate you men. I'm not trying to say anything about your preaching. I'm just saying, and I believe you all believe this, you wouldn't be here, that sinners need the gospel. Ought to be patient. With sinners, we ought to be patient with the saints of God. Look at what it says here in verse number 9. It says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Amen. Churches have turned into a grudge match. Amen. Turned into a grudge match in a lot of ways. I tell you what we need more than anything else in this life is for the unity in the house of God and the love of the brethren. We need that in this day. And what ought to motivate us to that is the coming of the Lord. Hey, I understand there's biblical grounds for separation from brethren. And hey, I believe in preaching against ungodliness and unrighteousness. And you and I aren't going to agree on everything. But I do understand we need to realize the judge is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the judge about that. And more than ever before, we need to be patient with one another and work with one another with the Word of God. Amen. Boy, it's sad when the church turns into a grudge match. Y'all seen any of that? Envy, debating, spite, and jealousy. God's people, ain't one of us deserve to be in the family. I pastored long enough to see people lose patience with each other. You pastors, You seeing that more than ever before? Amen. Grudge match. Open and grudge match down at your place. But he's saying here to be as patient as God is with sinners, to be patient with the saints. I'll say this, be patient with the sovereign God. Be patient with God Himself. If you and I don't watch out, we'll say like what was said, why me, God? Why are you letting this go on? I'm glad He's sovereign this morning. Thank God He knows everything from the end, from the beginning to the end. And we'll just be patient with Almighty God. If nothing else, this trial we've been through has taught me some more of patience.
Am I the only one that could get some help with patience? Amen. The Bible says this, there's evil days. Amen. I don't want to waste my time in impatience and grudge match. The Bible said redeeming the time because the days are evil. Walking circumspectly and redeeming the time because the days are evil. And it said, be not unwise or be not foolish, but be wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. God's will that I be patient. Patient is Him. Hold your finger there in James 5 and look here in Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. When I'm reading the Word of God, I try to take it personally first. Amen. It says here in Hebrews 10 verse number 36, for ye have need of patience. It's amazing what God knows about us. He said, for you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. That's talking about His coming. Amen. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Thank God Brother Mitchell took that text that night. I was in a meeting somewhere, about one of the first times I ever heard him preach. And he stood up. I heard about Brother Mitchell. He said, I'm going to tell y'all tonight when the Lord's coming. I was like, he said, in a little while. Yeah. Yeah, right. Amen. It's still just going to be a little while. Right. Be patient. Yeah. Amen. Be patient with sinners. Be patient with the saints of God. Be patient with the sovereign God of the earth. Be patient in suffering. Next verse talks about James chapter number 5. Y'all excuse me, I'm trying to get done. Verse 10, it said, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Amen. Boys, American Christians, we ain't suffered nothing compared to what our heritage has. But we might. Paul told that Hebrew crowd over there in Hebrews 12, ye had not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Amen. He told them before that verse, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. He's seated there, and thank God, if he's patient with sinners and the saints of God like you and me, he's sovereign over everything, and whatever we face, thank God, we can trust him.
Amen. Let me give you these last three quickly here. In the text, he said, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Verse 7, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. I believe the second coming will motivate us to be as patient as he is, but it also motivate us that everything that's precious to him will be precious to us. Amen. More than ever before, this Bible ought to be precious. Psalmist in Psalm 119, verse number 126. He said, it is time for thee to work, O Lord, for they made void thy law. He said, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. The verse before that, he said he esteemed it better than gold, yea, more than fine gold. Amen. I believe he loves his word, don't you? He said, I love it above fine gold. He's got the precious word. His work that he's called us to, I believe, is precious. Amen. He shed his precious blood, is what Peter said. He said, you and I are not redeeming the corruptible things as silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. I'm glad the Holy Ghost told me one night when I read that, He said, personally you, thank God. I'm glad, thank God, for the precious blood of Christ. I got washed in that blood. He gave me a divine nature, made me a partaker of the divine nature, and He put me into the precious faith, the Bible talks about. Yeah. You know why we're here? Hearing a hollering preacher after you ate and got a full stomach and stayed around? Because you don't want to be embarrassed when you come back tonight. Precious faith. Amen? Precious faith. I believe the faith will be more and more precious in the light of His coming. Amen. It's like precious faith, that valuable, precious, perfect blood. I believe also it'll make you be perfecting to be more like Him. Look at there, chapter number 5, verse number 8. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. He's saying establish your hearts. Amen. We got a responsibility in all of this. I don't deserve to be a child of God. I sure don't deserve to go to heaven, but I'm glad I'm a son of God. John said over there, he said over there in 1 John chapter number 3, he said, behold, that word behold in my language means looky, looky. Amen. Is that all right, Brother Jones? That work? Amen. Pay attention. Look at this. Amen. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. You know what we're going to need if the Lord don't come soon? Great, sweet fellowship.
That's right.
He said, what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What fellowship hath light with darkness? He said, if you'll come out from among them and be separate, I understand this is probably one of the most separate crowds I preach to. But we can separate some more, amen.
Yes, sir.
He said, I'll be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. He's talking to save people there. Amen. I've got a dad who's never been around. I've never got to experience sweet fellowship with him. And I'm not giving you a sob story, but I'm still his son. And it's on his side that he don't want to fellowship and he don't want to have sweet communion together. Amen. I believe it's on our side when we don't. He said, therefore, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know, one of the things that in my life before I got saved, Brother Simpson, it was the rapture. I was scared to death of the rapture. That was one of the motivating factors God used to get me to repent and turn to Him. I remember I was out hunting with one of my buddies one time, and he's a trickster, and he slipped off, and we was out there squirrel hunting. I turned around, and he is gone. So I stopped looking for squirrels, and I started looking for him. Preacher had been preaching about the rapture. I couldn't find him nowhere. I said, hey, where you at? Nothing. And I finally got pretty desperate. And I said, where you at? He's about from here to the wall. He said, what's wrong with you? I said, nothing. It's funny, but I thank God for doing that to me. Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
There was a fear in my heart. Amen. This making any sense this afternoon? Amen. I want to be perfecting to be more and more like Him. I'll say, church, keep on having the Lord's Supper. Keep on baptizing. Keep on doing it. There's a reason those ordinances are there. Amen. He said over there, either 1st or 2nd Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11, I believe it is, talks about till he come, we're to keep having the Lord's Supper. And he said, examine yourself. There's many sick among you and many weak and many that sleep. Many are dead because of that. Well, I disagree with the radio. I was going to say preacher, but he didn't do too much preaching. I believe there's motivation in his coming, don't you? The Bible said in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify in Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen. I'll say the last one, it's a promise of the Lord. He promised He'd come. He said, let not your heart be troubled. I will come again. Amen. So I hope it motivates you. The coming of the Lord ought to motivate you. Let me feel like the Lord wanted me to say it again. It's not just a deliverance from wrath. It's an appearance at the judgment seat. Amen. Thank you, brother.